You know, in this nation, we do such a good job of publicizing everything that even now, at just barely the beginning of New Year's Day, you've probably heard that wish, Happy New Year, hundreds of times. Maybe some might even be growing weary of it by now. But the fact is, so long as we are residents here on this side of eternity, we all have our clocks and calendars which we go by every day, and our custom is to at least acknowledge the passing of time with a new page on the calendar and, well, for many of us, at least a thought or two about what we resolve in the future. It's just a reality this time of year. I'm not so sure this whole business of New Year's resolutions is, well, I'm not sure it's such a wholesome thing for most people. It definitely influences some people to make promises that, well, that they can't keep, or at least some, I think, have no real intention of keeping. But that's where we are. A brand new year. The first day of a brand new year on the calendar. We hope and pray that it'll be the kind of year that we'll be able to look back on with fond memories and to look back on and perhaps evaluate progress that we have made during the year 2017. In fact, that's sort of what I've chosen to talk about this morning. I've chosen a text for us that hopefully will remind us of the importance of slowing down to take a look at what we've done. The text comes from a very important conversation between Job and his friend Elihu. In Job chapter 37, verse 14, "Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." You know, there are two very important admonitions for us in that little verse. First of all, stand still. Some translations render it stop. Stop and consider. In our plain way of speaking, we might say something like, "Hey, hold on. Whoa." Not sure why we talk to one another like horses, but we all know what that means. It's often in God's Word that we find the admonition to be still. And usually God is talking about be patient or think about it. To clear our mind, to put aside all of those many preoccupations for just a bit. And I'm pretty sure you'd agree with me that one of the reasons we don't get enough of the right things done is often we're trying to do so many of the unimportant things that often the best things get crowded out. So here we are with a new year spread out on the calendar before us, and so we have a really good opportunity to pause, to hold up for a little bit, to stop and consider. That's the second thing Elihu tells Job, consider. Specifically, he's telling Job to think about all of the good things that God has done. We too need to reflect upon that and more. We need to think for a little bit, though, about what we've done. Not for the sake of, hey, look at me, look at what all I've done, but more for the sake of some redemptive remembering. Let's dig around a little bit and think about where we've been And at the same time, let's plan where we need to go. Now, in case it's not already obviously clear to all of us, let me throw out a couple of reminders to us as we begin this study. First of all, I would suggest that we need to remember that living for God is not living in the past. That's not what we're about. Paul said it best in Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call or the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul's past, like ours, was cluttered with things that didn't really glorify God. And so Paul said, I'm not going to dwell on those things because that's in the past. That's gone. But even things in his past that were good were not things he tried really to get mileage out of, because he understood the need to constantly be going forward in God's service, not resting on past accomplishments. But the fact is that sometimes examining our past can help us to direct our future in the right direction, in the right path. A closer look at our footsteps over the past year might help us to be able to see some adjustments that need to be made. Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3 in verse 40, let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. It's important for us to understand the connection that's there between the probing and the examining and a return to the Lord. One of the reasons why a lot of people get sidetracked and continue off on that sidetrack and never come back to the Lord is because they never stop and examine and probe their ways. There is no coming back. There is no returning unless we're willing to examine and probe. And so, to help us examine and probe our ways, to help us stand still and consider, I want to propose four questions that we need to ask and answer this morning. And here's the first one. What was the hardest moment of your life in 2016? Have you noticed that one of the accusations that critics have unjustly leveled against Christians over and over is that we live in a make-believe world? You Christians, y'all are just living in la-la land. You just act like everything is going to be all right. I don't know about you, but I certainly don't live in a make-believe world. My life as a child of God has been real, if nothing else. Day after day, I get a full dose of reality, and I know you do too, and anybody who claims otherwise just really isn't living it. Jesus did promise in John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So whether you've had a really good year or maybe even a really bad year, or maybe you're somewhere in between, there were times when you and I came face to face with difficulties. Some of them were our own causing, some of them were not. But the fact is that most of those things, many of those things that have troubled us in the past year as we attempted to live the Christian life and serve God, were completely unavoidable. Maybe it was the death of a loved one, a cherished friend, or perhaps a close neighbor. The fact is, death is a reality here on this earth, as God's Word assures us. And the death of even a loved one can sometimes remind us that we shouldn't become too comfortable here on this earth. As hard as it is to lose one in death, how much harder would it be without God's loving comfort that comes to us through His Word, His promises, His people? Some among us have very recently experienced that comfort that comes from knowing that God knows and God understands. How much harder would it have been without loving brothers and sisters to stand by, doing those little things, or sometimes just doing nothing at all, just being there, made it so much better for us. Perhaps the hardest moment you had in 2016 was the moment you received some terrible news. Maybe it was a doctor's diagnosis for you or for a loved one. Maybe it was the shattering reality of financial reversal, or perhaps it was the divorce of one of your children. Yet bad news is not the end of the world. Consider the fact that God no longer allows us to see the future. Instead, He allows us to confront things as they happen. He doesn't tell us ahead of time that we're going to be sick on such and such day, or that Dad's going to die at a certain time. He allows us no real warning in many cases. Have you considered what a blessing that is? Think about how hard it must have been for King David back in 2 Samuel chapter 12 when Nathan the prophet told him that the child that had been born from the adulterous relationship with Bathsheba was going to die. How awful that must have been. To know that no matter what you did, sometime in the very near future, that child was going to die. Nothing you could do about it. Doctors today sometimes tell us that an illness is terminal, but time and time again, it's evident that they don't have the final word in everything, do they? Perhaps your hardest moment in 2016 involved some kind of terrible mistake that you made. Did you fix it? Is it forgiven? If so, then let's move on. If it's not forgiven, then it must be because you did not repent and truly seek the forgiveness, because forgiveness will not come for the transgression that is not repented of. Did that hard moment have anything to do with the fact that you may be trying to live your life without God? Let me assure you that trying to live without God is one hard moment right after the other. And there will never be peace in your life under those circumstances. And now would be a very good time for you to decide that you're through trying to live without God. And in a few moments when we sing that invitation song, why not come forward and express your desire to get your life back on track with God? Nothing this morning can be any more important than that. Now, let's step over into some more positive territory. Question number two. What was the most blessed moment of your life in 2016? One thing is for sure, a life of serving God is a life that is filled with blessings. The Christian life is very real and it has its difficulties, but it's also full of blessings that nothing else can compare with. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says, "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." Now that's more than just a reminder that needs to be read at funerals. Even if 2016 was a hard year for you, don't sell God short by claiming that His blessings were not there for you. Psalm 77 is a fascinating passage. It's a passage where David appears to be having a particularly hard time, and he begins to ask some questions. In verse 7, "Will the Lord reject forever? And will He never be favorable again? Has His loving kindness ceased forever? Has His promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has He in anger withdrawn His compassion?" You know, along about now, we want to say, "David, what's up? What's going on with you? What's causing you to say these things? Why would you ask these questions?" Then I said, "It is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed." In other words, I realize now it's just the way I've been looking at things. And it almost makes it look like God has forgotten about me. In verse 11, he says, "I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have, by your power, redeemed your people." Thinking back to the most blessed moment that you had in 2016, maybe it was in seeing one that you cherished come to obey the gospel. Maybe an erring one that you'd been praying for a long time was finally restored. Maybe it was the birth of a child or a grandchild or even a great-grandchild. Perhaps some special measure of success came into your life. Maybe it was the restoration of a relationship that had somehow become fractured. Maybe a marriage was strengthened. Maybe a family was saved. Whatever the way that blessing was illustrated in your life in the past year, we should all confidently express the thoughts that are contained in that old song, "The Lord has been mindful of me." Question number three. What are you most thankful for now in 2017? You know, in spite of its favored status, our society is consistently leaning toward ingratitude as a way of life. For a lot of folks, it seems like things can just never be good enough. In times of hardship, it seems like we blame everybody except ourselves, of course. In times of plenty, our culture trains us to believe that we deserve everything we have, and we even deserve a little bit more that we haven't gotten. That's kind of the way we are. And we as Christians need to be really, really careful not to fall into step with the selfishness of the society that surrounds us. And as we stand pretty much right in the doorway of a new year, reflection back reminds us of what a precious privilege it is to be a Christian. We're thankful for God's love, for Jesus's sacrifice, for a strong church family, and for opportunities to serve both God and man through this church. As Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. You know, one of the most memorable questions that Jesus asked during his personal ministry here on earth deals with the human tendency toward ingratitude. In Luke chapter 17, verses 17 and 18, and Jesus answering said, "Were not the 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there none found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger?" The sad thing is that some folks have suggested that probably the percentage today would still be about the same. 1 out of 10 thankful enough to say something about it. Today in the Lord's church, we need to be characterized by our gratitude. We have so much to be thankful for. Here's the last question. How will you do greater service for God in this new year? 2017. I think it would be safe to say that none of us, no matter who we are, or no matter what our physical strength or our physical condition, no matter what our age may be, none of us is maxed out. Did you hear that? None of us, not a single one of us, is maxed out so far as what we can do in serving God. Quite honestly, the truth is about some folks, we're so far from being maxed out, it's almost laughable. There is room to grow, capacity to do more in a better way. Now, there's nothing magical or even spiritually significant about the start of a new year, as I've already said. We just simply use this point on a calendar as an illustration to help us see the need to focus in on whatever we need to do to live better today than we did yesterday, and hopefully better next year or this year than we did last year. Yesterday's record is complete, whatever it is. It's written. The only thing yesterday is good for is to look back on in order to help us more properly direct our efforts today and tomorrow. Where are you headed in this new year that's already unfolding all around us? Let's close out this discussion with another look at Paul's words from back there in Philippians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 12, he says, "Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This time of year, we tend to talk a lot about making plans, don't we? And some of those plans do need to be made, but let me tell you this. Don't waste too much time sitting back and trying to come up with a plan. Because you see, the plan, the main plan, has already been made. We just need to determine that we're going to follow it. It's God's plan. But it's for your life. And my life. And it begins with a surrender to His will and a willingness to serve Him, whatever the year may bring. And again, there are a lot of good things about the fact that we really don't know what the year is going to bring. But what we can know is our own position up against God's plan. Have you submitted your life to His plan? Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel as the New Testament teaches we must do? Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, to be buried with Him in baptism and become a new creature. If you haven't done that, what a great way that would be to start this year off. If you have done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back? Why not come back while you still can? If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together. Thank you.